Hey, good morning, everyone. Hope everyone is doing well. Today's daf is daf mem tes. So we got three lines down. The Gemara says, Bizman chain lachem. We're talking about different types of materials that would be muksa that you can't do hatamana in. So the Gemara says only, the Mishnah said only when they're bain chain lachem, whether they're wet, whether they're dry. So Gemara wants to know the question, Ibay luhu lachen machmas atzman, o dilma lachen machmas davar acher. When we describe these different items as being wet, as being moist, is it moist only from its own, moist from the own material, has some moisture in it, or even if they got wet from some outside material? So the Gemara quotes a brayta that says, Toshma, lo b'tevin, lo b'zagin, lo b'mochin, lo b'asavim, b'zman shein lachen. So you can't use any of these materials, straw and... We said straw, and you can't use grape skins, and you can't use different types of grasses, and different types of stuffings, we said, like wool, or perhaps cotton. So the Gemara says, "I amers bishlama lachen machmas davar acher shap." If we say that when lachen means it gets wet from some outside material, so this all makes sense, because all the things listed here can get wet from other materials outside. But ella I amers lachen machmas atzman. If you're going to say, when we describe these materials as being lachen from themselves, so then the problem is, mochen lachen machmas atzman, heichem ishkachasla. How do you find this machen, this type of wool that becomes wet from itself? Mochen is not wet. It doesn't ever get wet. So it has to be, therefore, lachen machmas davar acher. Because again, lachen don't get wet machmas atzman. They're not wet from their own right. So what's pshat? So the Gemara says, no, we do find such a case where mochen do get lachen machmas atzman, mimirta debene atme. What's that referring to? So if you look at Rashi, Rashi says, it's the first narrow line down, mimarte debene atme, mitzemer hanimra mibene yarchoseh shel behema. The wool that's found between the legs, the thighs of the behema, shumole yzeh, it's full of sweat. It's wet from its own right. So therefore, this would be where it's wet from its own right. That's lachen machmas atzman. So then the Gemara says, "V'hatani, but doesn't the Braisa teach us, Rabbi Yoshaya, tomin b'ksus yuvesha u'b'peros yuvesha? You're allowed to insulate something in dry clothing or dry fruit, but clothing that's wet and fruit that's wet, you can't." So now the same question. When do you ever find that clothing itself is wet machmas asma? Where do you find such a thing? So the Gemara says, Mimirti debeni atmi. So too, the clothing from a particular wool that is between this area, the thighs of the leg, that too is going to be, that can be, well, can be moist, machmas asma, because the zeya, the sweat that's there in the animal. So new Mishnah begins as follows. Tomnim b'ksus, a person could insulate with ksus, with some type of cloth, and with peros and fruit, b'kan feyona, you could use the feathers from a dove, ubin saris shel charashim, and some of the sawdust left over from the carpentry, ubin oris shel pishan daka, and the leftover flax combings, Rabbi Yehuda oser b'daka umater b'gasa. So unclear what Rabbi Yehuda is referring to, we'll see in the Gemara, but Rabbi Yehuda says he prohibits the use of daka, of small, finer, and he permits the use of gasa. Now the Mishnah in front of us says, for daka, it says pishan daka, so we'll see what Rabbi Yehuda is saying. He says, no, daka isn't good. Is he going on pishan daka, or is he going on b'nisaurus? Is he going back on the wood chips, the shavings from the carpentry? So Rabbi Yehuda again says he prohibits the use of daka, fine, but mater b'gasa, but if it's large pieces, it's permitted. So what's going on here? So the Gemara explained that Amar B'Yanai, Tfilin Tzichin Gufnaki. So we're going off in a bit of a tangent. We'll come back just a moment. We'll see why this is brought here. But Tfilin Tzichin Gufnaki. Kelisha Bal Kanafayim. That when a person wears tefillin, he needs to have a very clean body, like Elisha Bal Kanafayim had a very clean body. So the what does it mean, a clean body? What's a Gufnaki mean? So if you take a look, well, I guess we'll first read the Rashi. The Gemara says, "Mayhi, what is it? Abai Amar Shalui Afiach Ben, a person shouldn't pass gas wearing tefillin. Grava Amar Shalui Yisham Ben, that a person should not sleep wearing them." So if you look at Rashi, Rashi says that Shalui Afiach means Shiyachal Haman Asma B'Shas Haruach. He could have self-control. And Shalui Yisham Ben, Shemi Afiach O Yira Keri. So Rashi is concerned with a person sleeping, perhaps he's Shemi Afiach, or perhaps he's going to be a Keri. But if you look at Tosa says towards the bottom here, Shalo Yisham Behem, Mishum Shalo Yafiach, Bein Bishash Shena, O Mishum Hesach Dach. He says because Hesach Dach, that's why. Aval mishum keri ein lachash, but he says we're not concerned with keri. So there are a few different reasons as to why a person has to have a guf naki. This becomes very relevant, and today's daf in practice I spoke about what age a child could start wearing, because the Gemara in Sukkah says when a child's old enough to be shomer tefillin, to wear tefillin, which means to have a guf naki, you should buy him a pair of tefillin. Now what age is that? What age is the katan? So there's a shita of the Beis Yosef quotes from Rashita that a katan there means actually a gadol, a 13-year-old boy. But that's not a katan. So the Beis Yosef says a katan means a katan, a boy. When the boy is, could be 10, 11, 12, if he shows that he's able to be mature and have a guf nafki, then ein hachanami, you'd be able to buy from him, and you should buy from him, bitin chinuch. So there's a bachlokas in the Mechaber and the Ramah. The Mechaber says, ein hachanami, when a katan is able to, you buy him a tefillin. Ramah says, no, there's no questioning. Only at the age of 13, you never buy before, and the minhag is not to buy a pair of tefillin for a child before the age of 13. Ah, the Gemara says only a katan. So the Mishabura says, what it means is the age of 13, shlohevi saros. He doesn't have two hairs yet, so he's not a gadol in the halachic sense, even though he is 13. That being said, there are, again, are a number of minhagim that Magen Avraham says, some have it 2 or 3 months before the bar mitzvah because of chinuch, some only have 1 month before. So there are a variety of different opinions when a person should start buying, if at all, for a child. But the whole idea is because he needs a guf naki, because either shlo yafiach behen or because shlo yisham behen. So now back to the Gemara. The Gemara says, "Vamai karle bal kanafim." Why did Elisha be? Why did he deserve this title? Why did he get the title of bal kanafim? What did he do that was that gave him this title of the wings? So the Gemara explains as follows: there's a ma'isa that pam achas gezer malchus Rome harisha gezerah Yisrael. Once the Romans decreed the following gezerah: shekol hamaniach tefillin, whoever place a tefillin on their head, Yinakris Mocho, he's going to have his brain removed, Vaya Elisha Manichim, and yet Elisha was the most nefesh and he wore them. Vyote Lashuk, he go out to the Shuk wearing the tefillin. Ra Kaster Echad, one particular agent of the Romans, Rat Mipanov, he ran away, Rat Acharav. And then this individual, the policeman was chasing after him. The Kevin Shagir Etzla, once he caught up to Elisha, Natla Merosho, Elisha took it from his head. He held the tefillin in his hand. Amar Lo, he says, Ma ze biyadcha? The policeman says to him, what are you holding in your hand? What is that? Amar Lo, he says, Kan feyona. There are wings of the dove. Pashit es yado, he opens his hand. V'nimtsu kan feyona, and turns out it was a dove. Lefikach koreh so Elisha b'knafayim. And therefore he earned this title of Elisha, the man of wings. So maishna kan feyona. So why was the dafka kan feyona? That was that the tefillin turned into or appeared like. Mishar, Ophos, why only the Yonah? Why not another bird? Bishum de Amsil, Knesset Yisrael, Yonah. Amsil is Lashon of Mashal, that's an Aramaic for Mashal, because Knesset Yisrael is Nimshla compared to a Yonah. Shenemar, how do we know this? Based on the Pasuk in Tilmit, it says that Kanfe Yonah Nechba Bekesef, so that we, Klaiso, compared to a Yonah. How so? Ma Yonah, Knafe Maginas Aleh, just like the wings protect the dove, af yisrael mitzvos maginas alen. So to our mitzvahs protect it. So Elisha, who was most nefesh in the mitzvahs, had protected him. So a number of interesting things come out from this particular Gemara. If you take a look first at Tosos, Kalisha b'knafayim. Tosos writes, l'halchi nakit Elisha, dimistama kevin shenasa l'anes, betzvim hayazar ben, v'hayalo gufnaki. So Elisha b'knafayim is the example of gufnaki. Even though the Gemara describes the ma'isa of him running away and turning into Yonah, doesn't say that he had a gufnaki, but Tosafot says, "Mustama he had a gufnaki." You don't get a mitzvah, you don't get a nace perform the mitzvah of tefillin unless a person wears it and uses the tefillin in the proper way. So mustama, he was very zayir with the gufnaki. Umizatam, this is the reason, ain anu yuchom lipater, that's why we can't wear it and be exempt wearing it all day. Sharei beze anu yuchom, ain anu yuchom lehizayir. It's a little bit of gears that they talk about. Either way, we have not been able to wear tefillin in the same state that Elisha about Knafayim was able to. V'ein tema, so don't be so bothered, says Tosos, Amasha mitzvah zos refuya b'yadenu. Why is this mitzvah so weak in our hands? Shagam b'yamei chacham ha'isak refuya. In the times of the chachamim, it was also weak, says Tosos. K'detani, the Braisa tells of a perek to Rebbe Eliezer de Mila, Aramasech, the daf kuv lamin. It says that Rebbe Shimon ben Elazar omer kol mitzvah shalomasu asman Yisrael aleh b'shas hashmai. Any mitzvah that we were not moser nefesh during a shmad could go in tefillin, like a tefillin, adayin hi refui b'yodam. It's still weak in our hands. The Gemara says bris milah was something that we were moser nefesh b'shas hashmad, and that's why we're so machpin in bris milah. But tefillin, unfortunately, was not an example, and that's why it's been so weak in the times of Chachamim, and certainly in the times of Tosos, and even more so in our generation. So then Tosos says, "V'hada amirim b'per kamad Rosh Hashanah poshe Yisrael b'gufon karkafta de lamarach tefillin." So doesn't Tosos say that if we're so weak and wearing tefillin, the Gemara quotes from the Gemara Rosh Hashanah that people are poshe Yisrael. If you don't wear tefillin, you're a poshe Yisrael. It's a very, very serious offense. So Omer Rabbeinu Tam, Rabbeinu Tam says that's only true. A person's only poshe Yisrael demari b'osam shosam achmas merid. When a person doesn't wear tefillin properly because he's rebelling against Hashem, u'mivazin ha-mitzvos, and he disgraces the mitzvos, v'shochin rutsu, and he plays around with the strap, shviyadim ha-barosham, that's when it talks about poshe Yisrael. But a person who stam misses a day, or a person who misses not wearing it all day, that's not called poshe Yisrael. So there are many different other interpretations of how you define poshe Yisrael in that context of tefillin, but either way, we see that the definition of poshe Yisrael, the Gemara says, is of those who don't wear tefillin. So we see how serious a mitzvah this is of wearing tefillin. The Gra asks a question. The Gra says, "I don't understand. Elisha Bar Kanafaim knew that the policeman was going to catch up to him. So wonder what was he doing running away? He knew he'd be caught. So he says he ran anyways because he wanted to chop every second he could of tefillin. Even though it would be 30 seconds till he's caught and thrown down by the policeman, he wanted to be chop every single second he possibly could catch wearing the tefillin." So then Tosos asks the question. We look at the first wide line down in Tosos. He says, "Notla Mirosho," that he took them off his head. So asks Tosos, "V'yafagav daminim b'sanhedrin daf ayin dalin debishas hashmad." When there's a shashmad, the Gemara tells us that afila al mitzvah kal, even for a very small mitzvah, yarug vayavur. We know there's a cloud by the big three, the shlosha averos, for the zara gila raisim and tzicha, that a person, goy tells you, either kill or violate one of the three averos or I'll kill you, so we have to get killed. It's better to be killed than to violate one of the big three. But the Gemara says, b'shash shmad, if he tells you to violate even a mitzvah kala, we actually should not violate the mitzvah kala. We should rather be killed than violate a mitzvah kala. So one of the examples, the Gemara says, "Vafilu lishnuya araksa demasana aser," even to change your shoelace. The Gemara talks about how different shoelaces were worn by the Yidden versus the Goyim. So if they tell you to wear the shoelaces of the Goy, you should not change the shoelace and rather be killed. So we see shas hashmad, even a mitzvah kala that's so small, like changing shoelaces. So kal v'chomer, if you tell you not to wear tefillin, Elisha Bar Kanafaim shouldn't be wearing tefillin either, because this is a mitzvah kala b'shas hashmad. So Tosus answers, "Hainum mishum debishinuk araksa demishanik kovid kochavim v'doma shemotzi asmo miklal Yisrael." The reason why the changing the shoelaces was chosen wasn't because it was a low-level mitzvah only, but also because by changing the clothing and looking like the goyim, it gives the impression as you're being motzi atma miklal Yisrael. That's why. So it's not any mitzvah kala. It's a mitzvah kala that gives the impression that you're rejecting the Torah. Aval says Tosafot, when it comes to hacha, here in the case of tefillin, eina osaklum el she'ein lo tefillin merosha sha'achas v'harbe Yisrael she'ein lam tefillin kamoso. Just to wear, not wear tefillin for a few moments, that's not a motzi atma miklal Yisrael. And therefore, this would not be considered one of the examples where a person should violate the Avera in protection of his own life. There are many, many other answers that are given. Ramban's answer, I'll just give you this one other answer. Ramban says there's a difference between a kum vaseh and a shevi al tasa. When we say that you have to be killed than violate a mitzvah kala, it means when you proactively kum vaseh violating a mitzvah kala. So to change the shoelaces, that would be a kum vaseh to change the shoelaces. But not wearing tefillin would be a shevi al tase. So therefore, it wouldn't be subject to the same thing. So back inside the Gemara now, we are a few lines up above the next Mishnah, Bin Soris Shacharashim. We had said in the Mishnah that if you have some of the wood chips left over from the carpentry, so that also a person could use for Hatamara. And we also said Venuras Shalpishan, also some of the shavings, the combings of the flax. So the Gemara says, Ibailu, Rabbi Yehuda, Anasar Shacharashim Kai? Is he referring to Anasar Shacharashim, the wood chips, the wood shavings that only Daka is Aser, but Gas is Mutter? Oh, Anuras Shapishan, is he going back on the combings of the flax, where the Daka is Aser, but the Gas is permitted? So Gemara says, Tashma, the Tani, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Nu'uras Shalpishan Daka, Harehu Kizevel. So he says, the Nu'uras Shalpishan, the combings of flax, the fine one, is like the Zevel. And Shmamina, so and which means it's Aser, one cannot use it. So Shmamina, we learn from here, Anu'uras Shalpishan Kai Shmamina. He's going back to Anu'uras Shalpishan, that the combings of flax, if it's Daka, it's Aser, just like you can't insulate in Zevel. But if that Nu'uras Shalpishan are Gasa, then one may be permitted to insulate inside them. So new Mishnah begins as follows. It says, "Tomnin bishlachin." You're allowed to insulate in shlachin is some types of leather. Rashi says oros, different types of leather. On the bottom, Tosa talks about which types of leather we're referring to. But there are different types of leather that's being described here. Umetalton also, begize tzemer, also, you can move them as well. Leather is not muksa. So you could do a tamana in these pieces of leather, this hide, and you can move the hide. Begize tzemer, when it comes to different types of wool, the ain metalton also, you could insulate, but at the same time, you cannot move it. It's muksa. These items are muksa. So if you look at Rashi explains here that metalton osan, the reason why you're allowed to move leather is because bein she tamen behen, bein she lo tamen behen. Whether or not you insulate within the leather or you don't insulate, these are allowed to be moved. The chazi lemazge alayo, because they're fit to lie down. They could use them as a blanket, as a mattress, as something to lie down on top of. But ve'ein metalton osan, says Rashi, when it comes to the gizei tzemer, the leftovers of the shearings, the muktzotein l'tavas l'arok, because the wool is designated to use to sew and to weave, and therefore they have a din of muktza. So you could do a tamana, but when you remove the item from the atamana, make sure you don't move the muktza item. So how do you accomplish that? So ketzatu osa, how do you accomplish this? So the Mishnah says, note as a kisoy v'hei noflos. So you have to imagine that the kedera, the pot, and the cover was all placed inside the wool. So you can't move the wool is muksa, but if you grab the kisa, you take the cover and take the cover off, so then that's going to tilt them outside, it's going to knock off all the wool on top and allow you access to the inside of the kedera. And Rashi just points out here, that note del kisoy shal kederi, take the cover of the pot, sheyesh toras kliyala, because the cover also has a shem kli, it's considered kli. V'yaf agav shehein alel, lo ich baslan, even though that the wool's on top of it doesn't bother us, to lo nasas basal lehem, the wool does not make the pot cover into a basas, shein also el lechasas kedera, because the cover of the kedera wasn't meant to hold the gizei tzemer. It wasn't meant to be a basis. It happens to be there's a gizei tzemer on top, but that doesn't make the pot into a basis. The pot's function is there to cover that which is below it, but not to hold that which is on top of it, and therefore it doesn't become a basis. We've discussed in the past that one of the requirements to create something as a basis is you have to have das there. You have to have intention of using it as a basis, but here the intention isn't to use the pot, the kisui, as a basis for the gizei tzemer. Rather, it's being used to cover that which is below it. So that's the eitzah of the Tanakama. Again, you just take the kisoy, and when you move the kisoy, memela, the gizei tzemer falls off. But then the Mishnah says, Rabbi Eliezer ben Azariah, Omer, he says, kupa mata al tzida v'notel. So what you should do is you take the whole box. You have to imagine what's going on. You imagine like a big, I don't know, a cardboard box. And you have it, you know, covered, lined with gizei tzemer inside, and the kedera is inside, buried. It's insulated. It's enveloped by all the gizei tzemer. So after now you take the kisoy off, so now the kedera is exposed. So he says, don't take the whole kedera out. If you take the whole kedera out, we'll see this in the Mishnah, we'll read this inside together, but if you take the whole kedera out, all the wool is going to fall and cover up that hole, and you can't insulate it a second time. So you want to leave the kedera that's there, so it's still situated between the gizei tzemer, and then after you take the cover off, just pick the whole box up while the kedera is still inside, and pour the food out from the box while kedera is in place. This way you could just put the cover back on to re-insulate whatever is left behind. But if you take the whole kedera out again of the wool, so then the wool is going to end up falling in and covering the hole that was once there, and you won't be able to re-insulate. So just look back inside the Mishnah. The Mishnah says that Rebbe Elazar ben Azariah Omer, kupa mata al tzida, you take the box, you turn it on its side, v'nota, and you take that which is inside, shema yitol v'ena yachal hachzer, because maybe you're going to take the whole kedera out, and then the gizei tzemer will fall in place, and there won't be anything available to re-insulate, and you can't put it back in. Chacham say, notel umachzer, you could take it, and you could put it back in as well, and the Gemara is going to explain how that will work. So now the Gemara says, Yosef Reb Yonasan ben Achinai, Reb Yonasan ben Elazar, they were sitting down, these two Reb Yonasans, the Yosef Reb Chanina, Bar Chama Gabayu, and Reb Chanina was standing or sitting right next to them. Becoming Bar Yilahu, and he asked the two Reb Yonasans the following question, Shlachim Shel Baal Bayis Tanan, when we said in the Mishnah that the Shlachim is not muksa, the pieces of skin, the ore, the hide, the leather, is not a muksa, do we say Shlachim Shel Baal Bayis Tanan, only that of Baal Bayis? Aval shel uman, but if it's a worker, a professional worker in the field of skins, came in the kapit alayu l'metatan lo, since he's makbid on it, it won't be movable. It's muksa because muksa machmas chesron kis. Well, then perhaps shel uman tanan, maybe the Mishnah is referring to even the skins that are used by a professional. That's not muksa, and certainly kol shkein shel baal bayis, and certainly not the skin of a baal bayis. Now, this is a very, very important Gemara because it uses the definition, what's a muksa machmas chesun kis? We discussed the other day, I mentioned about paper on Shabbos, that paper might be muksa machmas chesun kis on the yesterday's daf and practice, but how does one define muksa machmas chesun kis? So here the Gemara says, came in the kapadulai, anything that you're machbid on, or the owner is machbid on, that's considered muksa machmas chesun kis. You're machbid that it be used for a particular use and not for something else. You're machbid that, you know, a mole is machbid that his knife is only used for a mila, not for anything else. So whenever the takpada, that's a definition of muksa machmas chesun kis. But there's a Gemara in Beitza, the Daf Lamed, who says that the definition is based on that which has damim yakarim, that which has a lot of value. And the Rambam in Perek Chaf Hei of Hilchos Shabbos also says, whenever it's very expensive, that's the definition of a muksa machmas chesun kis. So there seems to be a machlokes rishonim whether the definition is based on value or based on akvada. Because a knife, a mila knife, may not be very expensive. It could be, I don't know, but it could be in theory a couple dollars and maybe $20, but maybe not so expensive. So it's based on a akvada, how it's used, or based on the value. And this seems to be machlokes in the poskim and even down to Shulchan Aruch as well. And there are many, many applications, but just note that this is important. It sounds from the Mishnah Berurah that they're two definitions. Certain things that are valuable and certain things that are machbidon, they both fall under the rubric of muksa machmas chesun kis. So back to our story though. So the Gemara says that what's the deal? Can the leather of a uman of a trader, is that considered muksa machmas chesun kis and muksa, or it's not considered muksa? So the Gemara answers with the last two lines of Mem Tes Amun Aleph here, Amar Lahu Rabbi Yonasan Ben Elazar, Mistavar Shabal Bayas Tanan. It's sensible to say that we're talking about the skin used by a Baal Bayas, Abal Shal Uman, Kapad Elayu, but that which is used by a professional tanner, I guess, or a skin person who uses hide, he's Machbid and would be Muksa. So Amar Lahu Rabbi Hanina Bar Chama, Kach Amar Rabbi Shmuel Bar Yosi, Rabbi Shmuel Bar Yosi would say as follows, going with Amar Beis now, Abba Shlacha Hava, that Shlacha Hava, Rashi's Uman Le'ebed La'abed Oros, he was a Shlacha, the Amar Heviu Shlachin V'nei Shevalem. So he said, bring me some Shlachin, let's sit on top of it. So we see clearly that the Uman was not Machbid on this, and Rashi Hevi Shlachin V'nei Shevalem, Amalo Kapid, we see that people are not Machbid on using it. And Tosis writes in the top here, Abba Shlacha, he was a skin tanner. So Amar leather tanner. So Tosis writes, Perish Rabbeinu Chanano, V'amar heviu li shlachan m'shabbat v'alacha k'Rabbi Yosi. We pass like Rabbi Yosi, the kaimalon ma'isa rav. Whenever there's a ma'isa of a rav, who did something, that is always indicative of that's how we pass him. So this just becomes an interesting discussion because we see here from this Gemara that Rabbi Shmuel, the son of Rabbi Yosi, who was this leather tanner, he had a job. So there's an interesting discussion. Do we use this as a proof? The Rambam talks about how it's important that even a Talmid Chacham, he didn't seem to be so in favor in Kolalim, that people, even those who are big Talmid Chacham and Rabbanim, should get jobs. So there's a whole list of different Amoraim and Tanaim that we have that had jobs. And this is one of the examples, that Rabbi Shmuel ben Rabbi Yosi was a shlacha. And we have other examples of Rabbi Yochanan HaSandler, he was a sandal maker, a shoemaker, and we have others as well, Shimon of Piccoli, which he was involved in using, making things from wool, and Rabbi Meir was a lavlar, he wrote things. So many, many examples of this. So some say, you see from here, that great tzaddikim, great rabbanim should have a trade as well on the side. While others say, no, this happens to be what they did. But it doesn't mean everyone has to. There is a concept of a kolo and supporting people to learn. But this is just interesting to note that you do have great rabbanim who did have jobs as well, such as this example. So back inside the Gemara now, the Gemara says that two lines down in Mem Testament Beis, in Meisive, we ask a question from the following Braisa. Nisarim shel bal habayis, when it comes to using some wood boards that were used by a bal habayis, or homemade boards, metalton osan, you can move them because they're not machbid on them, on the use of it. But shel uman, if it's a board that's used for a professional carpenter, a metalton osan, you should not move them. Vim chishev alasa shalem paslo, or if you plan to use it as a table to serve food on top of it to your guests, bengkach metalton. So even the wood, the planks of wood that's owned by the professional, you could be make it tanai and you could make it not muks anymore. So we see here that how come when it comes to the merchandise, the leather of the tanner, that we are allowed to use it, you're not makbid, but here by the wood, the merchandise of the uman, you're not allowed to use it unless he makes it tanai. And the Gemara says, "Shiny Nisarim, the carpet allowed," because it happens to be people are makbid, the umlans, the workers are makbid on their wood boards being used, but people are not makbid on the leather. Rabbeinu Chanan just explains very simply that when people sit on top of leather, it doesn't ruin it. When people sit on top of boards, it can ruin it. So that's the difference. So there's no klal across the board that all merchandise is asur or not. They talk about, Ezra sells dalaminum. So what's the din? Is an esog lulav? Are these things muksa on Shabbos? Forgetting, sukkahs, just stam. You have merchandise and it's a Shabbos. Are these things considered muksa? Esog is a fruit. The fruit doesn't become muksa, but once it becomes a merchandise, so then it could have a din of muksa because they're makbid on it. So it depends on nakbada. So it's very likely, poskim say, that it's very likely that esrogim could be muksa when they're meant for merchandise, when they're meant to be sold. Lulav is not the same because lulav, there's no purpose for it on Shabbos. Same with arabos. Hadasim, however, hadasim are meant to be smelled. So that's not muksa. People smell hadasim all the time. But let's say they're hadasim that have been designated for the use of, for selling them for dalaminim. Would a person be makbid on it because it's schora? So that becomes an interesting discussion. Or let's say matas. You have matas, it's not for Pesach. You have the matas, the Shabbos before Pesach. So it's merchandise. It's for you. You sell matas in the house. Ezra sells matas. So he's got a box of matzahs. Now matzahs are mutter to be eaten, but let's say he's using them to be sold as merchandise, and he's machmir on them being used. Is that going to be a violation of that muksa machmas chasam kis? So this all depends on this question of hakpada or no hakpada. Gemara now says that tashma oros bein avudim bein shein avudim mutter l'taltim b'shabbos. The Baisa says that you have skin, that different leather, whether it was tanned, whether it was processed or not processed, they're mutter to move on Shabbos. So the Gemara says, so we see from here, that leather is not muksa. So the Gemara says, lo amra avudim elo inin tuma bavad. And we only said this with respect to tuma, when we said avudim, that avudim is unique, it's only with respect to tuma. But with respect to moving, there is no difference, bein avudim, bein shavudim. Only the gabi tuma, if it's or that's bin avudim, that's already been processed, that's a kli, that's subject to tuma. If it's or that's ein avudim, that had not been yet fixed and processed, that's not a kli yet, that's not subject to tuma. But with respect to other dinim, we say or it's bein avudim, mutal talatim b'shabbos, you can move them. So the Gemara says, so what does it mean, bein avudim, bein ashein avudim? So my lav, lo shna shabal bayis, lo shna shel umam. Does this bryce not seem to present unequivocally that whether or not the hide, the leather is used, owned by the baal bayis, or even used by the umam, it's permitted. There's no distinctions across the board. So we see a raya from here that even the oros of a umam is permitted to be used. It's not muksa on Shabbos. And Gemara says, lo, not true, shabal habayis. This bryce may only be referring to the oros of a baal bayis. Aval shel uman, mai, a metalton. But perhaps the skin, the leather used by a uman, by a professional, maybe that's not movable, maybe that is taka, muksa machmas, chesam kis. So the Gemara says, ihachi, that's the case if there's this chilik between the or of a baal bayis and the or of the uman. So then ihachi, hadatani, that which the bryce says of lo amru avudin el inyan tuma, bavad. From the fact we have this klal throughout that whenever bryce makes a chilik, and there's room to make another chiluk, the Braisa should be making both chilukim. So once they already made a chiluk, linin tuma, so bilvad, liflog v'lis nebidi day, it should make a second chiluk, but med v'amarmurim, when is this all true, b'shel b'halabai, sabal b'shel uman lo. So the fact that it didn't make that chiluk sounds like that there is no chiluk between the or of b'halabai and the or of the uman. So the Gemara says, lo, kul b'halabai, kamari, the whole Braisa is talking about b'halabai. It didn't have to make a chiluk, it was clear. This Braisa was only discussing the or of the b'halabai. But the or of the umam was not even on the radar. So the Gemara says, in the end of the day, it's really a katanayim. It's really a machlokas tanayim as to the status of the or of the umam. What's the tanayim? Where do you find the braisa? Oros shabal habayis, metalton osam, v'shel umam, a metalton osam. The braisa clearly says that the leather of a baal bayis is not muksa, but the leather of an umam is muksa, and you can't move it. But Yossi omer, echadzeh v'echadzeh, metalton osam. You can move either one. So we see clearly that Tanakam and Yosi argue whether or not the or of the uman is considered muksa or it's not considered muksa. Gemara now says hadar v'yosef v'kamibaylu. So this was again, remember the context. This is the conversation that was taking place between Rabbi Yonasan ben Achinai, Rabbi Yonasan ben Elazar, and Rabbi Chanina bar Chama. So now they went to discuss further matters. So hadru yosef, they sat again, the three of them, v'kamibaylu, and they asked the question. How did it sound that Misha, which we're going to get to in a couple weeks from now, on Daf Ayin Gimel in the Masechta, Abos Malachos Arbaim Chaser Achas, that the Misha says there are 40 minus 1, which of course is 39. There are 39 Malachos on Shabbos. Kineged me, Amar, kineged me, with respect to, where do you find such a source for this? So Amar Lahu Rabbi Chanina Bar Chama, he answered, Kineged Avodos HaMishkan. The Avodos that are found in the Mishkan, that's the source of it. Rashi explains here, Kineged Avodos HaMishkan, Osan HaMenuyas Sham Beper Kagadah, HaYutzich HaMishkan. They're all necessary for the Mishkan. The reason why the Torah juxtaposes the Psukim of Shabbos to the Psukim of the Mishkan is to tell us that the Mishkan, the Avodos, the different services that were performed in the Mishkan, is the model for the 39 Melachos on Shabbos. That's what he responds back. So then the Gemara says, Amar Luhu, Rabbi Yonasan ben Elazar, Kachamar Shimon, Rabbi Yossi ben Lukunya, Kenegan Melacha, Melachto, Umleches, Shabbat Torah, Arbam, Chasa Achas. He says that they're connected, there says in the Torah 39 times the word malacha, connected to 39 malachas. Now the truth is, the Gra points out that it's not true, it's many, many more times than that. You have to figure out which ones it refers to, which one it doesn't refer to, but either way, it's connected to the amount of time somehow, in some calculation, the word malacha appears in the Torah. So then the Gemara says that Bar Rabbi Yossi, Vyavo Abaisa, so he asks the following question, before we go to Abaisa, sorry, the Gemara tells us in Daf Ayin actually a different source, how we know the 39 melachas, and that's based on the pasuk in Eila Hadvarim Asher Tziva Hashem La'asos Osam. Eila Hadvarim, the gemach of Eila is 36, and Hadarim Ha is the, is always one, the is one. Dvarim is another two, Dvarim implies two, so 36 plus 1 plus 2 is 39, so that's the calculation according to the Gemara, and Rashi's understanding there in Daf Ayin. So asks Pnei Yeshua, so how can we have a different source here? It's dependent, here the Gemara says it's based on how many times where melacha appears, and there it's based on this cheshbon of Eila Dvarim. So Pnei Yeshua says, must be the Amoraim here, we're unaware of the Braisa on Daf Ayin. Alternatively, he suggests, no, because that Gemara later on using a Gematria. We don't use Gematrias as sources, and therefore we wanted to have a clearer source based on this. Now the challenge with this, you have to go learn the Gematrias all over how that applies, but there is, the Gemara does use Gematrias from time to time, but they actually use it even for Halacha L'maisa. The Gemara wants to know, how do you know that a Nazir, Stam Nazir, is 30 days? That when a Nazir takes upon himself in the Zeros, it's Stam 30 days. What's the basis for this? The basis, the Gemara says, because the word Yihye, it says Yihye by the Nazir, the Yihye is Gematria 30, and that tells us 30. So you have to say that Yihye is not really a real source, it's just a Smachta V'alma. And for that reason, Pnei Yeshua says, we don't rely on the Pasuk Eila Dvarim, because it uses a Gematria, rather based on this Gemara of Melechas and Melachta. Now the Gemara says, halfway down the Amud, Bar Rav Yosef, Yosef asks the following question. It says, with respect to Yosef, that Yosef and Eshet Potiphar, V'yavo abaisa la'asos melachto, he went to her house to do melachto. So that's not talking about melacha in the Mishkan, it's not talking about melacha in Shabbos. So they want to know, miminan yahu or lo. Is this part of the minyan, or is this not part of the minyan? So Amalei Bai says, V'leisi sefer Torah limne. Go and take out sefer Torah and count it. Milo Amar Rabba, the Rabba not say Bar Bar Chana, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Lo Zalzim Yisham Ad Shev Yu Sefer Torah Umanam. He didn't take out a Sefer, he did not leave until he took out a Sefer Torah and counted them. So go take out a Sefer Torah and count them. If you need this Pasuk of V'yavo Abaisa as 39, so then use it. And if you don't need it, you have 39 without it, so then it's not part of the calculation. So there's a very interesting Rashi here. Rashi writes, Lo Zalzim Yisham, he says, Lo Yodana Hecha Idmar, I'm not sure what this is referring to. And there's interesting Rabbi Kiv Eger there on the side, he says, look at the Gemara Brachos, Daf Chaf Heim Beis and Rashi there. Rashi says, also, I don't know. There, and they're there, the Rabbi Kiv Eger and the Gilyan Ashas quotes like 20 other places where Rashi writes, I don't know, I don't know, I don't know. Which is just a very, very interesting thing, because when you're creating a masterpiece like Rashi is, and to admit you don't know certain things, that's fantastic. It's a great expression of humility. In fact, the Gemara Bracha says that a person should be ragalom, or a person should get comfortable saying the words, I don't know, eino yodea. So Rashi does this many times on his Perish. We don't find this by other Mefarshim, I don't think, certainly not as much as Rashi. But either way, he takes note of the Gilyan Ashas of the many places where Rashi does say, I don't know the answer. But back to Rashi, Rashi says, even though I'm not sure what this is referring to, when he says, he didn't leave until he took out a Sefer Torah, even though he didn't know for sure what the background is, he does make a suggestion based on the Gemara and Kedushin that Rashi says, Miu efshir le'inyan vav de gachon idmar. Maybe the vav of gachon, mid parchina le nami Kedushin. The Gemara asks, Gave vav de gachon, that vav, they want to know, is a vav part of the first half? So he's saying here is that the Gemara is talking about the word Gachon, the Vav of Gachon is the middle of the Sefer Torah. They want to know, is it part of the first half of the Sefer Torah, or is it part of the second half of the Sefer Torah? And the Gemara says, take out the Sefer Torah and count it. So perhaps this is what was being described, that again, Lo Zazu Misham Ad Sheviu Sefer Torah. So here too, if you want to know whether Vayavo Abayis Elasos Melachta is part of the count, take out a Sefer Torah and start counting. So the Gemara says, Amar le ki kamesapka li mishum. The reason why I was in doubt here was because mishum dechsiv, it says in the pasuk, v'amlacha ha'isa dayam, because miminanehu. That the melacha, the work, after they collected all the different materials necessary for the Mishkan, it was dayam, it was sufficient. So they wanted to know whether this was part of the count or not. And do we say, v'hakimand amar lasas trachav nichnas? So now back to our case. That if the case of the melacha ha'isa dayam was not referring really to the melacha of building the Mishkan. But look at Rashi in just a second. So because that was included, even though it didn't seem to be necessary to be included, it shouldn't really be included, he wasn't sure when Yosef, the story of Pasuk Yosef, is also worthy of being included. Does he say, V'hakamand amar lasat strachav nichnas? Did it mean that he went to do his own personal needs, which means it wouldn't be part of the count? Oh, then perhaps we should understand about this story of Yosef Tzadik. So that was the suffix. So just to appreciate what's going on here, look at Rashi. Rashi says, Mishum dechsiv hamlacha isadayim. It says when it came to collecting all the funds for the Mishkan, the melacha was enough. They had enough material. Navi minyano l'tavayu havi arbaim. If both of them are part of the count, then you have 40. Umitznan avos melachos arbaim chaser achas ika chadilo minyano. Then one's missing. Ubahani trehu diklameimar dilo melacha ninu v'lo yadana mehimanayim nafik. Meaning either one of them is melacha isadayim is included, and the pasuk by Yosef isn't, or the opposite. The pasuk by Yosef is included, and the melacha ha'isadayim is not included. He wasn't sure which one it was. B'ha'tre'i, who de'ikul me'mar, de'la melacha ninu, v'lo yidana heiman ha'im nafik, v'ha'chi kami barley. This was his question. Do we say ha'melacha ha'isadayim miminanahi, that we do count the pasuk of melacha ha'isadayim, that pasuk does count, that's number 39, u'melacha mamish kamar, it means really they were doing, the work was complete for the Mishkan, v'ha'chi kamar, ha'melacha shayu osa, hayu osan dai, the work that they were doing for the Mishkan was sufficient. And lo pachas min ha-tarach, it wasn't less than they needed. Lo yosef min ha-tarach, it wasn't more than what was needed. Could go and redo deitasin, letzipoi krashim, ledai hayo, v'radinosam, v'chem betava shariyos, the sewing of the curtains, all this was done. V'hai lasas melachto hu demapik. And the word of lasas melachto of Yosef, that's excluded. U'misai lei l'man damar, and this supports the opinion of the Gemara Sota, lasas tzrachav nechnas l'shachev ima. That his intention was to be with Eishet Potiphar. He saw the image of his father. Do you want your name to be erased from that ephod? The ephod. So he stopped. Oh, Dilma, perhaps we should say the opposite, says Rashi. Dilma, hi, las melachto, melacha mamish. When Yosef went home to do the melacha, he was mamish going to do melacha. Umasaila the Edaf, that he wasn't having intentions of doing anything bad. And then the pasuk of Malach to Ha'isa Dayim by the Mishkan, La Malachi, that's not referring to doing actual Malach in the Mishkan, Ela Kedemash Makra, Babas Nadava, that they brought all the sufficient funds and the materials to the base of Migdash. So these are the two pasukim. He wasn't sure which one was included, which one was excluded, and the Gemara says, take. Let's go a little bit further now. The Gemara says, Tanya, the Brisa says, come on, Damar Kenegra Avodas Mishkan, that the Brisa that supports the opinion that's connected the work of the Mishkan, the Tanya Ein Chayavim El Al Melacha Shekayotu Behem, Ha'isa B'Mishkan, that the only Melachas that are included are only Melachas that were performed actually in the Mishkan. Heim Zaru, V'atem Lo Tizru, they planted, and you shouldn't plant. Heim Katu, they harvested, V'atem Lo Tiksu, you shouldn't do Ksir. Heim Helu Asa Krashim Ikar Kula Agala, they brought the Krashim from the ground to the Agala, and from a Rosh Hashanah area, because where Klai Yisrael walked, that was Rosh Hashanah, they brought it to the Agalos, the wagons which were Rosh Hashanah. V'atem lo tachnisum Rosh Hashanah Rosh Hashanah. Heim heridu, it's a crushim me'agala l'karka. They brought the crushim from the Egla, from the Agala rather, to the ground. V'atem lo totziu Rosh Hashanah Rosh Hashanah. Heim hotziu me'agala l'agala. They passed from one wagon to another wagon. V'atem lo totziu Rosh Hashanah Rosh Hashanah. So the Gemara said, "Mershus Yachal, Mershus Yachal, my come of it. What's wrong with that? You could go from my neighbor to the other neighbor. There's no violation of Otsa in that case." The Gemara says, "No, my come of it. Abai Rava Amar Tirayu. Both of them hold. V'itamer Rav Adar Barava. Mershus Yachal, the Mershus Yachal, derech Mershus Rabim. Because when they're passing from one wagon to the other wagon, they're passing over an area of Mershus Rabim. The Midbar was Mershus Rabim when the Jews were there, because there's 600,000 men of them. So that would be a problem of carrying over Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, and this we learn everything from the Mishkan. So which of all this are included? So if you look at Rashi, Rashi says, three narrow lines up, Heim Zar V'Katsu, Simonim Litzvot Cheles, V'Oros V'Elim, they used it the planting and the plowing and planting and the whole process of growing things was all for the purpose of making herbs and dye for the skin and for tcheles. So it was all part of the building of the Mishkan. Rashi holds like the Yushami, which says whatever is used for the building of the Mishkan. However, the Shita of the Gaonim hold that it wasn't the melachos that were used for building the Mishkan, rather it was melachos used for the avoda, the karbanos in the Mishkan. So what do they use planting for and plowing for? They used it for the Siddur Depas and making lechem upon him. That's why the Zriya. So while Rashi is the Zriya and the Katsir and all that was made for the dye for building the Mishkan, the Gaonim say there was a whole process of the Avoda for using karbanos in the Mishkan. This is just a very interesting machlokas. And each case, whenever you find the malacha, what the source of the Mishkan is, you always find this machlokas that Rashi always says how it was used to build the Mishkan, and Rabbeinu Chananel oftentimes says how it was used for a karban in the Beis HaMikdash. One last point, and we'll finish with this. The Pnei Yeshua asks the question, I don't understand. How in the world were they able to plant? This is the Midbar. You couldn't plant in the Midbar. It doesn't make any sense. So two answers are given. So the Minchas Chinuch, Pnei Yeshua say, they taka didn't plant in the Mishkan. You're right. They had the herbs, they had the dye, they brought everything with them from Mitzrayim. And these are things that, in theory, would be needed to create the dye. It would be needed to create everything that they needed. But Lamaisa, they didn't actually plant because it was the Midbar. But the Nishmas Adam says, fascinatingly, he says, no, what do you mean? In the Midbar, when Klai Yisrael was there, and they had built the Mishkan, the Midbar became a place that was Roy Tezria. It was a place that was fertile, and they were able to, and they actually did grow things, plant things, and everything like that. So that was one of the Nisim that took place in the Midbar. Okay, we will stop here, and everyone have a good Chodesh and a good Shabbos.